And welcome once again to EW10's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host. An old friend, an old guest, Dr. Gilbert R. Lavoie, MD. The Shroud of Jesus and the Sign John Ingeniously Concealed, published by our friends at Sophia Institute Press, available through our EW10 religious catalog, EW10RC.com, for all things Catholic. Wow, 25 years.
Wonderful to be back here with you. Wow. Really great.
It was that bad of an experience when we had the show? It took you 25 years to come back, Doctor?
Well, I just got another book out, so this is why I'm here with you again. Right. Thank you so much.
And the last time we talked about the Shroud.
We did.
You had a documentary as well you had done on the Shroud. What's new in this book over and above what we talked about 25 years ago?
Well, I think that we've improved the work that I had done over the first 20 years, and then we went on to really discover a lot with regard to the Gospel of John.
Right.
The first 10 chapters are on the forensics, a little bit of history, with pertinent history, and also, but when we go, the last part is six right. chapters on John alone.
Right. And now, you talk about in the beginning of this introduction about the fact that you were in Boston, you were shopping in a bookstore, and you picked up a book called A Doctor at Calvary. And that impacted you as a young physician and a skeptic about the Shroud. And you say your journey has taken a lifetime to get you to here now. Why did it take you so long?
Well, it's a process. There's no question. It's a very long process. I did start as a skeptic. And the first thing that I got really very much interested in was the fact that as a physician, I was looking at blood. And that blood, the blood marks got me interested. One particular blood mark that got me interested, we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I just would like to say a little bit about the Shroud itself, so
right.
people in the audience know. The Shroud is a cloth that's about 14 feet long, 3.5 feet wide.
Right.
And in the middle of this cloth is the front and back of a naked man. And there are blood marks of scourging and crucifixion, just like we read about in the Gospel of John. So that's what we have. Two basic events, blood marks of a crucifixion,
right.
and then we have this amazing image, superficial image of the front and back of a man.
Mm-hmm. So what was it about that particular French book that really inspired you to go into researching more about the Shroud?
Well, it really started me thinking about the blood marks. Actually, many years went by. When I first saw that, I was 19. But the next time I found out about the Shroud, looked about the Shroud, I was about 36 years old. I was in practice of medicine. I just picked up the Boston Globe, and there was a picture of the Shroud, and I decided to go and see it.
Right.
So then I began to work on it, and I was very much interested in the blood marks, and I found right. one blood mark that was fascinating that I'd like to share with you is a blood mark off the left elbow. Mm-hmm. And that blood mark actually goes down the whole arm and then goes right off the image.
Right.
And I wondered what that was. It took me a while to sort of figure it out. No one knew what it was. So therefore, I did an experiment. It was a very simple one. I just placed a cloth over my body, and then I realized where it was. And so the first the photograph showed that we did a transparency, and with the blood. And then we covered the person, and we noticed that the blood mark disappears. So we just actually see the blood on the arm, but the blood off the left elbow is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the next picture that I did was it shows the blood mark going to the sort of folded over, where the cloth actually folded over the person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that the man of the Shroud was definitely a three-dimensional man under this cloth.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that the blood marks were actually a contact process, and the image was not a contact process, because the back of the arm, the cloth touched the back of the arm, as well as the blood. We see the blood, but we don't see the back of the arm. So the cloth, the showing us
right.
that the cloth was not a contact process.
Right. And one of the things you talk about in this book, and you've talked about it before, is the idea that you became convinced that this not only was a man wrapped in a shroud, but one who had been crucified. How so?
Well, that particular, when we really study that particular blood mark, we find that if we wrap that cloth, we find that the man is actually with his arms. His arms are basically like this, mm-hmm. and the blood comes down around, comes from the wrist,
I see.
Around the back, and underneath the back of the arm, definitely showing that he was in a crucified position, with the blood actually dripping from the back of the arm. You know, when you wash your hands and you turn around and you say to somebody, mm-hmm. hand me a towel, your hands are wet, you can feel that water goes
right,
drip to the back
down,
arm.
Right.
So that's a really, you know, and in the Mishnah they talk about the crucified blood dripping or flowing from a man, and this is what we have, blood dripping from this man. So
right.
definitely crucified.
Right, and you talk about that, and a lot of that dovetails into what you did earlier in your work. One of the things that intrigued me, and is very interesting, is that it's the shroud of Jesus, but then you say, and the sign John ingeniously concealed. Why did you put that in there, and why do you devote so much of the book to six chapters in your book to the Gospel of John? What's the connection in your mind?
Well, the connection comes from actually the forensic work that I originally did. When I was doing the blood work, I really thought, even though I had done a lot of different experiments and so forth and found out it was truly a crucified man, I felt there was nothing on this cloth that could convince me that this event took place, the image took place at the time of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I was doing one experiment, I discovered that something about the image, something very fascinating about the image. I realized that the blood marks were consistent with a man who was laid out in death. However, the image was that of a man who is upright.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that looking at the a number of factors, shadows, hair, and form of the body. And with looking at the hair, mm-hmm. You could see that the hair actually falls down to the sides, just like somebody who's upright with long hair, and also down the back. And that was very, very important because that demonstrates that this man is not lying down. The
mm-hmm.
other thing that we did is that we, being a physician, if you followed me into an autopsy room or whatever and we turn mm-hmm. the body of somebody over, we would find that the back is flat and the buttocks is flat and so forth. So what we see in the shroud, we don't see that flattening. We see the actual form of the body
mm-hmm.
as if the person is upright. So the whole back demonstrates that this man is upright. It's very interesting because all these sculptures and whatever that have been done, and many people have studied the shroud where he is lying down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was biased myself. Mm-hmm. I thought he was lying down for a good part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But then I discovered that he was upright. Learning the fact that he was upright, that sort of blew my mind, and I didn't know what to do with an upright man who's literally suspended in midair.
Right.
So what I did is it drove me to go to the Gospels. And I read I read Mark, Luke, Matthew, and I didn't find anything about a man who's suspended in midair like I see mm-hmm. in the shroud. So then I went to John, and there I found in John Jesus' words, chapter 12, verse 32, when Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up above the earth, will draw people to myself."
I see.
So being lifted up above the earth was just exactly what I was looking on the shroud, lifted up above the earth. And over time, I discovered that being lifted up in the Gospel of John is not just being lifted up on the cross, but being lifted up in resurrection. And ascension back to the Father. So that brought me to that point, that here I had something where that we were looking at forensically mm-hmm. that now I had to look at biblically. And so I wasn't really trained in the biblical side of things, so I decided to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I took 2 years of graduate courses in biblical studies.
Okay.
And then I studied the Gospel of John intently for a period of about, 10 years mm-hmm. or better. And then I started to understand the relationship between the shroud and the Gospel of John. And without the Gospel of John, you can't really fully understand the shroud. So this is a good part of what this book is about, the shroud of
right.
Jesus.
So one of the things you kind of dealt with in the book later on in relation to that is that idea of, you know, being concealed. And obviously that gives you the idea of the man risen up and when the imprint would have, whatever, you know, created the image on the shroud. But people would say, and you talk about it, well, why don't we ever hear anything about it? And why isn't there any reference to that in the Gospels, let alone the Gospel of John?
Right.
And you explain, at least, you have a theory about that.
Well, yes, it's pretty good data in the sense that when you look at Josephus, who lived at the time, he was a historian, lived at the time of John, that we find that without any question, Jewish people were not allowed to have images of people.
Right.
In other words, that would be considered something that would be idolatrous and taken and thrown into the Dead Sea. I mean, that was a terrible thing. So John knew that. And so if he ever told anybody about this cloth with an image on it, it would have been sought after and destroyed. So he knew that. So he had to keep it on the wraps. He could not speak about it. Yet, and so I talk about what is it that John, first of all, we have to, when we we talked about the upright man, one of the things I did is when I studied the Gospel of John, I sort of had a little key, and my key was I was looking at things related to an upright man throughout the Gospel. And then, so all of a sudden I discovered that Jesus talked about a sign, and that sign was really pointing to an upright man. So I'll just give you a little background on that. So it so happens that we call it chapter 2, where Jesus is in the temple, and he wants to get rid of the money changers and so forth. And what he does is throws over the tables and whatever. And he said, basically, to ad lib, you know, what are you doing here in my Father's house? Get this marketplace out of here. And but so what was really, we think in terms of his pushing over these money changers, the coins and whatever, but this, what he said about my Father's house was very, very important. My Father's house, when he said that, he was claiming for the first time in the Gospel that he's the Son of God by saying my Father's house. And so when the rabbis that were there, the Jewish authority understood that, and they
scribes,
said,
Pharisees,
right, and they said, give us, show us a sign that you can do this, basically say this, because what Jesus said was considered blasphemous. We don't see that in chapter 2, but we find it in chapter 5 when Jesus talks about being his Father again, that they want to kill him for that. So that was a very serious thing. So they asked him for a sign, and Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the it is his body. John explains that it's his body. So the sign is the raised body of Jesus. So that's what we see on the shroud, the raised body of Jesus. That tells us, tells the whole world that Jesus is the Son of God.
I see.
John recognized that, but he couldn't talk about it, but he does put it into his Gospel, and people will have to read the Shroud of Jesus to sort of understand all the particulars of this. But what happens is that it's what he sees in the tomb. He sees the raised body of Jesus on that cloth in the tomb, and he describes it actually at the death scene. He does three things. He connects three parts of the story, his story. The tomb scene, the death scene, and the temple scene. In the death scene, in the tomb scene, he sees the cloth, and he believes, when he said he saw and believed, he doesn't tell you what he saw, and he doesn't tell you what he believes, but we always say, well, it's an empty tomb, so therefore he believed Jesus was resurrected. But the real story is that in that particular scene, he also says, as of yet, we did not understand in Scripture that he was to resurrect. So really and truly, he doesn't understand that he's resurrected at that time. But what happens is that so what did he believe and what did he see? Well, we think from this work, we see that he saw the upright Jesus, but what did he believe? He believed not that he resurrected, because we see that that's not the case, but we believe that he believes what is in his entire gospel, that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So that's what he believes. So what he does is he relates that tomb story to the death story. In the death story, he actually describes everything you see on the shroud in the death story, and except that the arms are down. Mm-hmm. And then he relates that again to the temple story. And that temple story is where Jesus actually states, you know, destroyed his temple,
right.
And in 3 days he'll raise it up.
Right.
That he describes the sign. Okay. So there it is. So he's describing.
And you have a sculpture called The Sign, too.
Yes,
right.
Yes, we do. And that's an interesting story. Mm. I decided at some point to create a sculpture and of this whole thing. And I started with one sculptor. It didn't work out. Then I went to another, Pablo Eduardo, an internationally known sculptor, and he was wonderful. I actually sent him my data, and I said, if you see what I see, we'll talk. And so he looked at it, and he said, you know, we have looked at this, and we see what you see. We want to do this. Mm-hmm. And so we worked about 3.5 years and got this work done, and so now we have a beautiful sculpture that's right now it's at Ave Maria University. It's been
right.
Donated.
I think we have an image of the bust.
Right. So we have there's an image of the bust, which shows the hair, you know, falling down. And so what we have in the sculpture is exactly what we see, not exactly, but as best we could do by studying it very closely, the figure of the upright man of the shroud.
Right. Some of the other things you talk about studying, why there was doubt, you know, there was the carbon dating stuff that went on. There was the whole idea of chain of custody.
Right.
We don't hear stories about how it went from here to here necessarily. But one of the things that I thought was interesting, you talk about a textile expert and a particular distinctive stitch. Explain that.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yes, that was work done by the woman who actually did the repair work on the shroud in 2002. And she did a wonderful job, and she looked at this strip. She does a full strip that goes all the way along. It's just a few inches wide. It goes all along the whole shroud. Mm-hmm. And we know it was done at the same time that the shroud was originally made, because it's this very same cloth. It's a herringbone weave cloth. Mm-hmm. And that stitch, she studied that stitch. She was an expert in textiles. And she went ahead and discovered that the only stitch that was similar to that was a stitch that was found in a burial cloth in Masada. And Masada was destroyed in 73 AD.
Right.
And so so what we have is a stitch that is found, and Masada is only about a two to 3 day walk from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so what we have is a time and a place where this type of stitch was done by a human being that is found. So it makes it very, very interesting, and it's great archaeological evidence. And of course, everybody knows about the pollen spores that we have, and those pollen spores done by a fellow by the Max Fry. Mm-hmm. We find that that wasn't only in Europe, it was brought all the way. We find those. It was like an itinerary on the cloth. We know where it was. We know that it was in the Jerusalem area as well because of those pollen spores.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that at this point in time, people's opinions about the veracity of the shroud are more positive than maybe they were when the original carbon dating came out?
Oh yes, I think there's a tremendous amount of interest in this now. The statistics that were looked at with regard to carbon dating were found to be not worthy, and so therefore that carbon dating is not considered right at all. We have to really, if somebody wants to do carbon dating, they would have to go back and do it again. So we have other tests that were done. We had a wonderful test that was done recently on an X-ray, mm-hmm. X-ray type of test, and where you see the form of the cloth itself. And this was compared actually to cloth in Masada, which was older than 73 AD.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, there was a match.
Really?
So really, so this cloth is 2,000 years old.
Right, which is why you make the statement that this is a this is unique?
This whole thing is unique.
Totally unique in the world.
What we have here is this wonderful cloth that has the blood of Christ, the blood of atonement. We have the image that shows that Christ has been lifted up in crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension back to the Father. What we have in this cloth is really the entire story of salvation, our salvation.
And what has been the biggest impact on you in your life spiritually as you've done this research, especially as you focused on the Gospel of John?
Well, it has deepened my faith. I started as a skeptic, and then I found this to be real. And now that the whole thing is to really be sharing this with the world. This is something we want to share so that the whole world can see a living miracle, which John called a sign and Jesus called a work. And the reason why Jesus did any works was to show the reasons for his works. And Jesus tells us over and over again, the reason for the works, that people will know that I am sent from the Father and that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that he is God. That's it.
As you point out there. Now, as far as people looking at this, are you surprised that the church hasn't made a bigger sense of the shroud as a way, especially in the materialist world we live in today, where a lot of people, you know, need to, we're all like Dot and Thomas's, we want to put our finger right there in the wound or we don't believe it?
Well, we have that. We have something like that right now. It's the Doubting Thomas has now an opportunity to put his finger in the wound and the wounds, because this cloth really shows you that our faith is real. This is a real miracle that we have right today that everybody can see for themselves. In the book, The Shroud of Jesus, we see there's 80 photographs. People can decide for themselves. It isn't my saying it. It's that you can decide for yourself what this is, and then you can find out what John has to say about it, and understand how important this is to everyone. Because without it tells us that God is real, eternal life is real, and that's something very important.
Well, do you think that, especially today, because you get the feeling that people don't really believe it. They'd like to believe it, but they're afraid to believe it.
Well, I think that if they're afraid, they can pick up the book, The Shroud of Jesus, and they can start reading it and going through it. And all I would say, all you need is your mind and your eyes, and you can see that God is communicating to us.
The other thing you mentioned in here has to do with, having to do with the description of after the lance, with the idea of the water and the blood. How does that relate to the shroud?
Well, that's very interesting from the point of view of how amazing and how wonderful and how difficult it is to ever reproduce something like that. Somebody would have to understand pathophysiology and everything to reproduce. But John talks about the water coming from the blood, and from the spear on the side, we have blood and water coming there. And two of us and a number of other physicians have come to the conclusion that Jesus, with all his stress, loss of blood, etc., he went into heart failure. And what happens there is that the lungs fill up with fluid, with blood, and it looks like water. If you were with me and we stuck a tube down and we sucked that out of the lungs, it looks just like water. And so it's a matter of when the spear went in, it hit some of the large vessels. Blood came out as well, and as water from the chest wall.
Evidence of that on the shroud?
Yes, we definitely do. We don't see it on the front, but we see it on the back. We see a whole area on the back, which is a mixture of what looks like bloody water. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there. Right. It's wonderful. How it exactly got there, we've lost parts of the burns and so forth on the side. We might have been able to see something, but it's definitely there. It was taken when he was taken down from the upright position to the lying position. Somewhere along the line, that water that came out of his chest and went onto his back.
Now, how long has the book been out?
Since June 20th, 2023. It's just been out.
Okay. And how long did it actually take you to put it together?
45 years.
I knew you were going to say that. I mean, once you decided to do the final edition, how long did it take?
Yeah. It took about 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Lavoie.
Oh,
it's a pleasure to see you again after all these years.
Really,
Dr. Gil Lavoie.
Wonderful.
And the Shroud of Jesus and the Sign John, ingeniously concealed. Really interesting theory. Sophia Institute Press, available through our EWTN Religious Catalog. I'm Doug Keck. Thanks for joining us here on Bookmark. See you next time.